Oh, man.
Man, get this.
What's that?
I started up Ettercap the other day.
Uh-huh.
I set the host and destination IPs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
What?
The dumb son of a bitch used Telnet. Oh, man, was he surprised when I showed him his password the next day.
Oh, man, that's cool.
No. Hey, we aren't on, are we?
Nah. Yes, and you're tuned to Hacker Mind.
Yeah, Hacker Mind.
And I'm Screamer Chaotix, and that guy on the phone there, that's
Who am I again? Dash Interrupt.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't forget. I knew that all along.
Uh-huh.
I was testing you.
Yeah.
I gotta keep you on your toes, Dash. I never know what you're gonna do next.
I know, I'm spontaneous. Spontaneous combustion, yeah. Spontaneous combustion of information is what I like to refer to myself as. Yes.
Well, I have to second that because you told us about that 1-800-HACKERS number.
Yep.
Now, we had about, four people tell us it actually means, or it could mean, 1-800-4-BAKERS, right?
Could mean 1-800-4-BAKERS, which I guess is logical. But I still believe that Kraft Foods purposely bought 1-800-HACKERS for some unknown reason to the public.
Ooh, a little conspiracy theory there. But we said that we would announce the people's names. Well, we don't know who got it first, so we can't. If you told us...
I think somebody in the chat got it actually last week while we were live.
Really?
But I don't remember who it was.
Oh, well, you see, that just killed the fun. I wasn't even looking in the chat.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Now, speaking of the chat...
Speaking of the chat, good, very good segue. You can head over to irc.box.sk channel HackerMind and check out the coolest hacker chat around. Hell, coolest IRC channel around.
Okay, now what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that I really wanted to start the show with a reply. A reply to all the people that say having 2.5 months off must be great. I really want to reply to that. I want to say that it's not as good as it seems.
Okay, now you're just bullshitting us now, man.
No. I am not bullshitting you at all.
Yeah, I think you are, though.
There is no bullshit involved. It's not as great as it seems, because boredom sets in, first of all, okay? Boredom sets in. You know, when you have to go someplace, when you have to go to school, when you have to go to work, you think to yourself, man, I would love to sit around at home all day just playing with my computer, doing absolutely nothing. But when you're actually doing that, it's like, it's mind-boggling how horrible it is.
No, you're just, what'd you do with Screamer, man? Who are you?
Well, don't confuse our listeners, because, you know, they do get easily confused.
No, he wouldn't say that. The screamer I know wouldn't say that.
Well, the screamer you know would occupy his time, however, by going into New York City.
Is dead? Is the screamer I know dead?
No, he's not dead. He's right here.
Oh, okay. So he went to New York, huh?
Yeah, I went into the Big Apple, New York City. And I attended Freedom Downtime, the showing of Freedom Downtime on February 9th.
Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, okay, it was at the Sutton One Theater, and if anyone knows it, it's a lot smaller than I thought it would be, okay? It's, see, when I think New York theater, I think, like, Broadway play type deals. You know, I'm thinking this huge theater, but no, it was unbelievably cramped. It was like a coffin in there.
Really?
Yeah, but well, you know, pretty much anyway.
I got you.
It was tight in there. So, here's how it goes. At first, you know, I get on the train, go into the city, blah, blah, blah. I have to find the place.
Right.
After doing so, I'm wondering to myself, is this it? You know, this tiny little thing? This is the theater? This is the theater where I'm about to see Freedom Downtime? This is crazy. And, yeah. My suspicions were confirmed once Emmanuel Goldstein walked by 2 feet in front of me.
Well, you might want to... Some people might not know what Freedom Downtime is. You might want to tell them what it is.
Okay, well, I just made the assumption that if they're listening to this show that they...
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying some people might not know about it.
Yeah, well, it's very good to keep people informed. Freedom Downtime is a movie created by the 2600 crew, directed by Emmanuel Goldstein, that... tells the story of not only Kevin Mitnick, but of all hackers in general. It's what you might call a road movie, but it's a documentary road movie.
Right, okay, so you went to the theater and you saw Emmanuel Goldstein.
Yeah, I walked in, and ironically, for a person that comes from Connecticut, I was the first one there. So I walk in, you know, and here's Emmanuel in his long trench coat, you know, slumped over this table looking at little flyers. And I said, hey, Emmanuel, where's your movie at? And I went over, introduced myself, shook his hand, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, ah, you're the first one here. We have some promotional items. And, you know, I love goodies.
Yeah.
Okay, I love free stuff. So he takes me over to this little, like, not a garbage bag, but it was just this little plastic bag where he had, he gave me a Free Kevin sticker. Then he gave me a Stop the MPA sticker, MPAA, and a Free Kevin button. And, you know, I'm sitting here, like, collecting this stuff. I'm like, hell yeah, give me. Now I got two bumper stickers and a Free Kevin, Free Kevin button. So I love that. Anyway, I think it's worth mentioning that when I was standing in line, man, the atmosphere, it was incredible. There was a guy behind me who was cracking jokes about everything, and it was just a really friendly atmosphere. And oh, this is the part that you love. When Emmanuel was walking back and forth up and down the line giving all these latecomers their free stuff, yes, I stopped him and took a snapshot.
Oh, yeah.
He gave me a big old grin. You gotta love that guy. Very friendly. He gave me a big old grin, and wouldn't that be something to, like, make that a cover to Frequency or something?
Well, a part of a cover anyway.
Yeah, a part of a cover. I don't know if we want just Emmanuel, but we can think up something clever.
Yeah.
Anyway, the movie. I'm in the theater, the movie starts up, and see, I'm not one of those reviewers that gives away every single scene. At least I try not to be.
Please don't.
So, but it starts off talking about fiber optic. And the journey that Emmanuel and the 2600 crew embarked upon, taking him to jail, and it deals with Kevin Mitnick, and it's a really great road movie if you like those types of things, you know, where people travel all over the country, you know, trying to get interviews and sometimes succeeding, like with John Markoff, and they had Dark Dante, Kevin Paulson in there. They had who else? They interviewed Bernie S. a whole lot.
Russell Wong?
No, they tried to. They were chasing after him, and ironically, he had a Free Kevin sticker on his Jeep.
Oh.
That's how they knew it was him, because the whole cast and crew wanted stickers. So there's one scene where they're waiting outside of Miramax. I won't give away too much. And they see him. I'm assuming it was him. It looked like him.
Yeah.
He gets into his truck, and he's got Free Kevin on the bumper. So they tried to find him. try to interview him, but you have to see the movie to see what happens.
Yeah.
And the good news is that right before it started, Emmanuel told us all that the movie will be out next month on video.
That's great.
And hopefully that includes DVD.
Yeah, because I want to see it.
Yeah, well, it should be out next month, meaning March. Now, obviously, things can go awry, and so, you know, don't hold me to that. Don't come burning down my house if it's not out next month. But that's what he told us, and overall, the movie is excellent. It's definitely, without a doubt, the greatest hacker movie I've ever seen.
Really? It's a great... Well, it's not made by a big Hollywood studio, either.
No, that's exactly my point. It's made by hackers, and it's made for hackers, and it's just incredible. It's just incredible. It's fun. It's humorous. You'll be cracking up all the way through. And there are even scenes where it really gets to you emotionally. When you see what this does, you know, when you see what prison does to people like Kevin, you know, and you listen to his grandmother explaining the hell that she went through, you know, watching her grandson being carted off to prison, getting more time than a person who commits manslaughter.
Yeah.
You know, it really tugs at you, and if you have the means, and I know it's difficult, but I highly suggest you go see it if you don't, you know, if it's not out on video next month.
Well, I have a question for you.
All right, what's the question?
Why don't you sneak a camcorder in there and make us a bootleg?
Well, the guy beside me did.
He did?
Well, he had a camera. I'm not sure if he was making a bootleg. I was transfixed on the screen, just minding my business, but sure enough, he had a camera, and Emmanuel saw him bring it in there, so I don't know what the deal with that was.
Wow, well, next time you go to New York, see if they have any Freedom Downtime bootlegs, selling them on the streets there.
Oh, on the streets? No, that's old-fashioned. You know, everything's on Kazaa.
Well, I haven't looked for it. I should look for it.
I think you would know about it, but...
you know, I still want to buy it.
Yeah, me too. I am definitely going to get it. It is a little long. It's in two parts. It's about a little... Let's say 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours.
Yeah, 2.5 hours. Worth every minute. And just listen to the John Markoff interview. Oh, my God. That is hilarious. This man... He knows absolutely nothing about Kevin, and yet he saw fit to write about him all the time.
Actually, they interview him.
Yeah.
Wow, I gotta see this movie.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna give away too much, but they interview him in a very special way. They're extremely fair, and I'm not gonna tell you how they interview him, but you'll see how they do it, and just, you know, because it's only a month, then you can order it. So. That's all I'll say about it, but great film, and even if you do get it on video, see it in the theater, you know, see it at H2K2, when I'm sure they'll play it there, because you gotta see it with an audience that thinks the same way you do. Here I am, surrounded in this theater of about 200 computer hackers, all cheering when they see Bernie S., all cheering when they see Fiber Optic, you know, it's just an incredible feeling, you know, everybody's thinking the same way.
Yeah, well, when we go to H2K2, hopefully they'll show it there, and I'll get to see it in theater.
I'm sure you will, and I highly, highly recommend that other people do the same, because it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. But
I doubt it's coming to theaters nationwide.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. I don't see that happening in the foreseeable future, but... Well, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Nothing.
All right, so that's how I help to pass some time in my long journey through these 2 months, you know?
Yeah.
And I try to do other things, you know? I try to say to myself...
self?
Yeah, well, I try not to call myself self. I don't like to do that, but...
It's always funny when somebody does.
Yeah, well, see, I break the mold. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I say, me... Listen, what am I going to do?
You're going to... Should I mention your idea?
Should you mention my idea?
Your idea you talked to me earlier about.
Uh-oh, I completely forgot my idea.
No, the home-based business.
Home-based... Oh! well, that was a... That was a joke, but...
Oh, okay.
No, I won't be making my own beer, Dash.
Are you sure you could? Maybe somebody would like it and they'd buy it or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make your own beer at home.
What do I call it? Hackweiser?
No, don't call it that. Call it... I don't know.
Screamer's Ale. Screamer's Brew.
There you go. Screamer's Brew.
Hack Brew. Hackweiser. I like it. No, but I'm not going to be doing that anytime soon, but, you know, when you got all this time on your hands, you try to think, you know, okay, there's the obvious things, you know, you can go hang out at places, you know, do all the normal stuff, but let me do something that I really would never think to do unless I was on vacation, like, for example, go to New York. But I also think, well, you know, geez, what can I do right now? You know, those times when you're extremely bored, it's like the middle of the night. You know, you're so tempted just to, like, go walk to a payphone and just play with it, you know, just to do something.
Right. What did you do?
I didn't do anything, but I've been...
Oh, you didn't do anything yet?
No, but this is something I'm thinking about. What I really want to know is, what does AT&T do if you call up their operator service and then dial a local number that doesn't work? You know, if the numbers just leads to an intercept recording, do they still charge you the surcharge?
Yes, they do.
I can't believe that they would do that. They don't charge you for 800 numbers.
I've never heard that they do, but it's AT&T. They charge you for picking up the phone.
Okay, so does MCI do that?
Yes.
And it's not AT&T. Sprint?
Yes.
They all do it.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to go to the payphone.
That's right. I'm telling you, man.
Okay. Don't take his word, folks.
You pay for that dial tone. You pay dearly.
Well, I want to see what happens. I want to see if, when you punch in those numbers, if it asks you for like $4 right up front. And, well, that's a thing. I don't want to put in $4 just hoping that I get it back. So
don't do it.
Well, I gotta do it. I'm a hacker. I have to try. I have to see what happens just for the sake of seeing what happens.
Yeah, but then you're out $4.
Oh, no. See, that's out $4. Dash, that's why they have those little complaint numbers. You should know you found a little sign sitting on the ground.
Yeah, I did.
And what did you find exactly?
I found it's a piece of plastic. It comes off a payphone. You know, it's at the top normally, and it's behind some kind of plastic, and it says the company name and everything, and it says local calls, 50 cents. It also has a number for payphone repair / refund.
Bingo, there you go. See, that's all you gotta do.
I've never actually called one trying to get a refund.
Well, this is all you gotta do. You just gotta call that number after you pump in $4 for a number that doesn't even work, and if they don't give it back to you, you bitch to high heaven, and then they send it to you.
Oh, good idea.
Now, they'll never really know if you put that money in, but hey, let's be honest here. There's no reason to be a scoundrel, to be a bad person, and ask them for money that you didn't legitimately put into that machine, right?
Right. And the number is 1-800-286-8343, in case anybody wants to call it.
You know, No. I won't say it.
Don't say it.
I won't say it.
What,
I won't.
What is it?
Well, I was gonna say you want to call it.
You want to call it?
Well, you know that's the thing though, because we would have to ask for money, and I wouldn't feel right.
Yeah, you wouldn't feel right.
We told people about it. That's good. I mean, after all, later on in the show, we're gonna have one store try to sell something to another store. So
right.
We're crying
out
loud. I mean, let's only break the law so much.
Yeah, let's let the listeners call it if they want to.
Yeah, yeah, let's encourage our listeners to break the law. That's what we should do.
No, just call it if you ever lose the money. You know, wink, wink.
Oh, wink, wink. Oh, so now you're telling them to break the law. Oh,
I'm not. On record is saying, don't screw over the phone company.
Well, you can screw over the phone company, just don't rob from them.
Yeah.
You know, because that's when they come for you. Oh man, there's so many ways to screw over the phone company. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, but
you have a lot of fun. You know, you have an operator call a loop line, and then you're sitting on that line, and you're like, what? What do you want? Why are you calling me? And she's like, well, I don't know. It's great.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Well, it's because it is. All right, now, speaking of operators, Dash, what's this I hear about you trying out for an operator position?
Yeah, telephone operator. I applied for a job as a telephone operator, but it's not at a big, well-known telephone company, actually.
But it is a telephone company, though.
I think so. It's not telemarketing. Telephone operator.
You think so? Yeah, well, operator can mean a lot of things. It can mean tech rep. It can mean just a representative.
I don't really care. I just need a job.
Well, I can understand that. But I would want a job where I'm an actual operator. And, you know, I told people I had tried for that before, and I still want it. I want a job where I'm the guy you get when you dial zero.
Yeah, then give me free phone calls.
Dash, there you go again with the breaking the law.
That wasn't me.
I don't know what your problem is. Alright, but let's move on to some serious stuff here.
Yeah.
And let's see. What is something serious that we can talk about? Because we'll get to the fun stuff.
Wait, I gotta, you know, it's Valentine's Day today.
Aw, Dash, did you get me something? Aw. Aw, sicko.
No, I didn't get you anything. I'm just mentioning the fact that it's Valentine's Day. So I guess we could call this the Valentine's Day Hacker Mind Show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it is Valentine's Day.
Dash, are you going to... You're going to start begging girls to call you, aren't you?
No. No, I wouldn't do that.
Ladies, call them, please.
All right, anyway, moving on.
Hey, don't start acting like you're hosting here. I'll decide when we move on. The notebook decides when we move on.
Are we moving on?
Look, this top one here in the notebook is not completely scratched off. All right, there we go. All
right.
Now we can move on.
Sounds good.
Cameras. You hate them, don't you?
No, I don't hate cameras.
Okay, fair enough. Cameras... looking down at you wherever you go. You hate those, right?
Now, those piss me off.
Well, Washington police are building what will be the nation's biggest network of surveillance cameras to monitor shopping areas, streets, monuments, and other public places, okay? Like,
are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding you. This is all being built in the U.S. Capitol, and according to this article here, it really worries civil liberties groups.
It worries me too.
Well, I guess you're a civil liberties group. Apparently.
I'm a civil liberty person.
Now, this system, okay, get this. This system would eventually include hundreds of cameras linking existing devices and metro mass transit stations, public schools, and traffic intersections to new digital cameras mounted to watch over neighborhoods, and shopping districts.
All over the world. I mean, all over the United States.
All over Washington, D.C.
Oh, I thought you said all over the United States.
The U.S. Capitol. U.S. Capitol here.
Well, they already tried this kind of... Well, they didn't really try it in a whole city-wide thing, but they tried it down in Florida.
Well, those were face recognition. So far, I haven't seen anything like that being mentioned, but these are just regular old digital cameras, and, well, who knows what digital cameras can do. Ooh, evil. But, what's up with this? I mean, public schools, okay, I mean, schools are already like prisons.
Yeah.
Traffic intersections?
Those already have cameras.
Well, yeah, I suppose on the streets. And, but get this, mounted to watch over neighborhoods?
Yeah, what's with that?
Neighborhoods? So if you walk down the street, you have to worry about being monitored? No. That can't be allowed.
Well, it's being allowed.
Yes, just
imagine. If I was a resident of Washington, or the capital, Washington, D.C., the capital, if I was a resident, I'd move. And I'd try to get other people to move, too.
No, don't move. You can't run from it. Fight it.
No, I mean, move, and then they'll stop doing it, and you can move back.
Oh, so you're saying if there's nobody in Washington, they have nobody to monitor.
Right.
Wow, you know, there is just absolutely no sense to that logic whatsoever.
Well, that's just one of my ideas.
Yeah. So move out of Washington, and then they can't monitor.
The move out or the stay and fight.
I say stay and fight because they're just going to put more cameras everywhere.
Yeah. Well, no, I see. As I was thinking, if more and more people moved out of Washington, D.C., for this reason, I mean, say somebody doesn't want to stay and fight it. Let's say they just don't like it and they want to leave. More and more people did that, then they might start to think, hey, people don't like this, we need to stop it.
Yeah, but people are not going to pack up and move because of that.
Things. Some people might.
Some people, but not enough. People are not going to give up their lives and their homes. Dash, can you leave your house just because there's a camera down the street?
I could.
Yeah, but would you? Would you move out? Would you have your whole family move out of that house because there's a camera down the street?
Well, I don't know if they would, but I might. Just got to strap my computer on my back and on the road I go.
Oh, my God. I can picture that. Just sticking your thumb out in the road, hitchhiking with a computer on your back.
Yeah, and then I can just plug it in wherever I happen to be.
Dash, you know, the world needs more Dash interrupts.
I know.
All right, now it says here that this is the real kicker. This is the nail in the coffin. In the context of September 11th, we have no choice but to accept greater use of this technology, Stephen Gaffigan, the head of the police department project, told the Journal. So, yeah, obviously, because of September 11th, we have no choice but to accept whatever whatever privacy invasions come our way.
I know I've said this before, but September 11th, it was a bad thing. You know, it was a really bad thing. It was terrible. It was horrible. But people, politicians, and the government have been using it to their advantage way too much.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely true. And, in fact, I wanted to mention an article, not really an article as much as an interview, over at privacyfoundation.org/privacywatch. Just look for the article of David Brin. And he talks about all sorts of different types of privacy and what we should expect, what we shouldn't expect, as well as how he feels about it, like his personal opinions. And he says that people need to not look at it in black and white. People need to stop worrying about giving Radio Shack their information when a potential serial killer could be getting their information. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's annoying that Radio Shack asks for your information, but they're not going to do anything with that big list. Yeah, okay, maybe you'll get a flyer in the mail, but that's the least of your worries. What you got to worry about are the big things, you know?
Yeah.
The people that are trying to track you down, blah, 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 whatever, you know, you can make up your doomsday scenario. And I partly agree with him, but I don't like how he basically says that we should ignore the little things.
I agree with him, but I also say that, you know, there's risk in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that one thing. I mean, no matter what you do, there's always a risk that something bad is going to happen to you.
And the way I've always seen it is that with every...
Plus, something good could happen to you, too. You know, it's life.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's true. But as far as, like, something like giving your information a Radio check, even something as small as that is just one more step to, you know, making this Orwellian society. And I'm not saying that's going to happen anytime soon. I'm not saying we're approaching 1984. I'm just saying that it's not a good thing. I mean, do you feel good when someone demands, pretty much, anyway, demands...
Oh, yeah, but it's not required.
No, it's not required, but you would think it is with the attitude you get back from somebody.
Well, who cares about their attitude? As long as it's not required, then I don't really have that big problem with it.
But in some situations, it is required. What about if you attend a university and they demand your social security number?
Oh, yeah, that is required. That is, yeah.
Even though it's technically against the law, they're not allowed to ask for your social security number to use as ID, and yet schools nationwide, they do.
I hear you.
So we're just moving closer, and so do check out that interview. I read the whole thing. It's fascinating. It's over at privacyfoundation.org/privacywatch, and it's the interview with David Brin. He has a book out called, oh man, I hope I don't mess up the title. I think it's The Transparent Society. I don't know. Look in the interview. I actually want to give it a read, but I'm not sure where I can get a copy. It's chock full of things to think about, things to make you say, And speaking of which, things to make us say,
Speaking of which,
you remember last week I had asked our listeners to reply to a question that I had?
Yeah, but I don't remember the question.
The question was...
I remember the question, kind of.
I had asked them, do they think that a person who has legal access to a machine should be allowed to use the resources of that machine in any way they see fit?
Did you get any replies?
Not a one!
Me either.
Not a one. Four people replied to the 1-800-HACKERS thing, but nobody replied to the question.
Well, I can understand why.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, with 1-800-HACKERS, you know, we were kind of trying to get people to figure out if there was another word that could go there. And, you know, people, you know, they were using the phone and looking at the phone. They were just, it was just more involved, I guess, than just replying to that question.
Well, maybe the question was too easy. Maybe it's just such an obvious thing. Maybe they all thought, yeah, they should. So they didn't want to just write that. I don't know, but we want to hear from you. You know, we want to hear from the listeners, but apparently...
We're going to need to start coming up with, like, maybe we need to start coming up with, like, a question of the week kind of thing.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't mind that, but we got to get answers. I mean, imagine how we would look giving out a question of the week and nobody replies.
Yeah, that would kind of suck.
Yeah, and people ask me, well, why don't you have people call into the comm line and take questions? Well, I mean, we will have people call, you know, in the future. Hopefully, we will be able to do that. But does anybody have any? No one. Not a one. Not a single person has a question.
They might have some comments or something.
Yeah, they always got comments, believe me.
They never run out of comments.
Yeah, that's the one thing that they do have, but, okay, let me scratch off the cameras here.
Scratch off the cameras.
Yeah, so not a single reply. We figured out the 1-800-4-BAKERS, so I think...
That could be it.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I still don't think it's it.
Well, it sounds like one good possibility.
Yeah, it's the only possibility.
Yeah, that's true. And we had a couple listeners point out some sites to us to find more information on those things, so we appreciate that.
I have the site right here if you want to. Oh, okay. You know, if people want to go to it. It's www.dialabc.com/words/search. So,
okay.
Dialabc.com.
Now, Dash, are you calling me through VarTech?
Yes, I am.
See, I always hear this static on the line whenever you call.
Oh, that's my phone, man.
That's your phone?
I think so. Hang on, let me try to get it for you. No, it's not here anymore. But yeah, it's usually my phone. Tell me when you hear it next, and I'll tell you if it's my phone or not.
Well, it's really quick, you know, but
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay. I just looked in the chat here, and apparently Zaint is saying that Live365 has no respect for people in Asia. He has to rebuffer every 5 minutes. Now, we had, or have, I'm not really sure which, a possible solution, even though I don't think it will be, that, there it is.
Yeah, that's it. That's my phone.
Okay, we had a possible solution come our way from some nice people over at rantradio.com.
Yeah, Rant Radio.
And, see, you're already advertising.
No, yeah. I'm not advertising, I'm just saying...
You're enforcing.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we had a nice offer from rantradio.com to broadcast on their streams. Now, me and Dash... Had some debates, had some arguments over this as to whether or not we should.
You're arguing like a married couple.
Yes. Thank you. See, I know, but you're only allowed one joke like that because I made the Valentine's joke. You know.
Oh yeah.
Don't go for two.
All right. Sorry. Anyway.
People are gonna start talking. All
right.
Don't go for two.
All right.
Can you believe she sent me a picture of a hippopotamus?
Yeah, I can. That was pretty messed up, but anyway.
That was cute. That was cute.
Rant Radio.
Yeah, rantradio.com.
Very nicely to let us broadcast on their streams, which is, I think, a good idea.
And I think a bad idea.
Yeah, you think a bad idea.
Now, see, this is something. This is a rarity, folks. I mean, mark your calendars right now. Listen to us right now, because you are about to hear Screamer and Dash disagree on something.
We're going to argue.
Okay, Dash, I think we should just settle down because we're about to have a...
Jump through this phone. and make you see my side of the story.
I was going to say we're going to have fisticuffs, but okay, that works too. We're going to have a little discussion here, and we want it to be a quick one because we still have to make Bloomingdale's try to sell something to JCPenney. But Rant Radio offered to give us two streams. For those of you that don't know, Rant Radio is it can be found at rantradio.com. It's an online radio station that broadcasts free speech radio. It has three shows currently airing and sometimes plays industrial music when the shows aren't on. It comes out of Vancouver, Canada, and now we don't know how many listeners they have. They look like good people. They like freedom of speech. Me and Dash had some questions for them, including can we talk crap about you?
Yeah, if we wanted to. Not saying that we would.
Yeah, because we always say, well, all Live 365, man, they suck.
Yeah.
And Live 365 doesn't care; they're not listening.
Right. Yeah.
So we wanted to make sure that before we went and did anything, can we say whatever we want? And apparently, according to these guys, yes, we can. But Dash, you go ahead and explain why you think it would be a good idea.
All right. They're offering to let us broadcast on their streams. They're just offering it out of the goodness of their heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's what's good about it. First of all, we get two more streams for people who might have trouble with the other stream to listen to.
Right.
Plus, we have more exposure for more listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And, we don't have to... It's just basically using their streams. Just using their streams. I mean, we don't have to advertise their site on our page. We don't have to, we don't have to watch what we say. I don't have a problem with this.
Okay, I do have a problem with it because first let me address what you had said. You said that we would get two streams. Well, one stream is going to be 24K. One stream is, I'm not sure what it's going to be, but it's going to be for 56K modems.
Right.
And right now we broadcast for 28.8 modems, which means our quality is down, but people are already having connection problems.
Right, but the people who don't have connection problems will have a better quality stream. And for people who do have connection problems, maybe it's Live 365 is the problem they're having. It's their problem. And maybe these other streams are, maybe they're closer to them, or maybe, they can just hear better. They don't have as many buffer problems, things like that.
That's a possibility, but again, if we even think about cranking this up just a little bit, people get booted. So that's what I'm thinking about. But of course, we won't have an answer unless we try. Unfortunately, though, I had tried broadcasting to those streams, and we couldn't try it because there was something already on.
Yeah, but we have a solution to that problem. We just have to try it.
Yeah, but now the problem is, can we still broadcast to Live 365?
Right, that's what we got to find out, because if we can't broadcast to all the streams at the same time, then we're not gonna use Rant Radio.
Right, and
so we're gonna stay with Live 365 no matter what.
Right, and we don't want to leave Live 365, but we're gonna wind up doing that anyway.
Why is that?
Because if we team up with Rant Radio, it's gonna be HackerMind on Rant Radio. If we're 2 years from now, if we're big, if we're doing good, a lot of hackers know us, we're gonna be talking about Rant Radio. We're gonna be up there with the Rant Radio guys. We're a part of this Rant Radio family.
No, we're not. We're just using their streams.
Using their streams. Look at their site and see how they advertise their shows. They say, okay, this week on such and such a show, this is gonna happen.
Well, I'm sure if we ask them to, make sure they have a link to our webpage and everything like that, and have a list of all the streams, including Live 365, they probably would do it.
Yeah, but I'm sure they would, but the whole thing is that these guys want to have a show. They want to fill time on their station, so we would be helping them to do
that. They would
be
helping us.
But how? What? The 25 listeners in Vancouver, Canada, they're not even hackers. Why are they going to listen to us?
All right,
we're already in 2600 for crying out loud. That's where our audience should be.
If we get it, all right. Let's just say we try it,
mm-hmm.
And all the things you're saying are true. People are still having connection problems. We're not getting any more listeners. Then we don't have to use them. We can just say, hey, we don't want to use guys anymore. It's just that simple.
See, I think that this would be ideal. You know, we can't stop people from we can't stop people from mirroring our stream. You know, if they have a stream of their own and they want to broadcast us, they're welcome to. You know, if they want to actually be kind enough to go through the work of putting us onto another stream so that more people can tune in, that's very nice of them. But do we really want to go through the work of broadcasting the three streams at the same time? I mean, is that...
Oh, it wouldn't be that much more work. You saw it yourself. You disconnect and then you talk.
Ah, yeah, well, now, Zaint here is saying, for the love of God, take the damn streams, my connection went again. Well, Zaint, maybe we will, but, like I said, you know, Dash disagrees, but there's no guarantee that it'll be better.
Yeah. I think we should try it. If it doesn't work out, then, you know, if they don't do anything that we want them to do, then, you know, forget them.
Okay, suppose, just hypothetically, and then we'll move on. Suppose that someone on Rant Radio says something that we would disagree with. They have a show on there, hypothetically, that talks about hackers in a negative way. I mean, do you still want to be associated with that?
That's their right. You know,
Yeah, but I mean, HackerMind is its own thing. That's what I'm trying to stress here. I mean, I have nothing against the station or the people personally. I'm just saying that I like HackerMind.
How would you feel if Live 365 started putting us on their front page and saying how they're hosting us? You know, they have HackerMind, which they essentially do. They don't advertise it.
Well, they have HackerMind. That's true, but they also have like 1,000 other people. This is one site. You know, that's. You got 3 shows now, and is looking for a 4th. You know.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't have anything to do with them. They're just letting us use their stream.
All right. Well, we'll give it a try. We'll see how the streams work, how everything sounds, and we'll see how it goes. But I don't see why we should keep the Live 365 stream if we're broadcasting on Rant.
Well, I mean. Why not? You know, just more streams, more the merrier, you know.
Yeah, but we don't even have...
Plus, people, I mean, if they can't listen to the high-quality streams or anything like that, they still have Live 365.
Well, okay, so you've heard it, folks. That's what we've been trying to figure out for the past few days now.
Plus, every time we have a show, we could say, if we wanted that, we don't have anything to do with Rant Radio. You know, if you were worried about us, you know.
And every time you say that we're not associated with Rant Radio, you're telling them that we are, because we're broadcasting to them.
Well, we're associated with Live 365, too.
Yeah, but who gives a rat's ass about
Live 365? It would be different if we were, you know, set up our own server and everything.
But, yeah, that would be cool.
I wish we could do that, but now we have to rely on other sites.
Okay, so, Dash, let's have a bit of fun here.
Alright, yeah, that's some fun.
Okay, first of all, before we do anything, I'm just going to show people what we're talking about, okay? So, let me flash over. Now, this should work because I tried it before the show.
Thank you for calling the Bloomingdale's by Mail Catalog Order Center. To place an order, press 1. If you are calling for a catalog, press 2. Thank you for your interest in our catalog. At the tone, please leave your name and mailing address. Include your city, state, zip code, and how you heard of Bloomingdale's by Mail. If you heard about our catalog through a promotion, please leave the code indicated. When you are finished, press any key.
Okay, now, hold on a second.
Hold on, I'm holding on.
Hold on a second.
Up on us?
What?
You hang up on him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
They wanted me to enter in my address. They wanted me to say my address.
Right, yeah.
Well, who's to say that I give my truthful address? You know, who's going to make me give my address? Why couldn't I give someone else's address?
You could, if you wanted to, yeah.
I could?
Yeah, but I don't know if somebody monitors this, and I mean, if they might see something that looks odd, they might not send them a catalog, or I don't know if a computer does it or what.
they want to sell stuff, so I mean they're gonna send their catalog to whoever orders it. Trust me.
Right. So yeah, what's to stop you from putting in somebody else's address?
Now you had said that maybe a computer does this, so maybe hypothetically they get the ANI because of the 800 number, and they match up the areas, and they say, well, wait a minute, this guy's sending a catalog to someone in California. You know, and he did it 500 times, right?
Right.
And that might look a little funny, but well, if you dial through AT&T and then get that same 800 number, they don't get your ANI. As far as they're concerned, you're calling from 212 something 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 something.
Right. Yeah. Well.
So, I mean, what's to stop us from sending Bloomingdale's catalog to, oh, I don't know, JCPenney?
Nothing's stopping us. We could do it if we wanted to.
But Dash, are we that kind of, are we those kind of people?
Yeah.
Thank you for calling the Bloomingdale's by Mail Catalog Order Center. To place an order, press 1. Thank you for your interest in our catalog. At the tone, please leave your name and mailing address. Include your city, state, zip code, and how you heard of Bloomingdale's by mail. If you heard about our catalog through a promotion, please leave the code indicated. When you are finished, press any key.
My name is Richard Smith. My address is 300 South University Ave, Little Rock, Arkansas, 72205.
My name is Richard Smith. My address is 300 South University Ave, Little Rock, Arkansas, 72205.
If this is correct, press 1. Your message has been recorded. Thank you for your catalog request. You will receive your catalog within 7 to 10 business days. Thank you for calling.
No. Thank you.
Thank you. Is it just me or was there static on that line?
It was static on the line. That's SNET for you.
Yeah.
See, we probably should have called through AT&T. That would have been nice and clear. Okay, so what did we just do?
We sent a Bloomingdale's catalog to a JCPenney in the capital of Arkansas, Little Rock.
So, I see. We just sent a catalog to JCPenney from Bloomingdale's.
Right, yeah.
Hey, that's kind of interesting.
Isn't it? Yeah, it is.
I wonder if people would like to have that 800 number for Bloomingdale's.
I think they would. I think you should give it out.
Well, how bad do they want it?
I don't know. You probably have to ask them.
I wonder if they want that catalog.
I think they do.
Or the, no, they don't want that catalog. If they wanted that, we could send it to them. Yeah, okay, well, the number, are you ready for this, Dash? It's really hard to remember. It's 1-800-777-0000.
Man, I don't think I can remember that.
Well, don't try. It's kind of difficult. Ooh, that didn't sound good.
Yeah, I'm coughing up a lung here.
Okay, now, I have another number here. Now, this one's not as interesting, I'm afraid, but...
Well, then, we don't want it.
Well, you're going to get it, though. That's the thing.
All right. Go ahead and give it to us.
Now, if this works, this number... Oh, this is a messed up recording. Take a listen. 1-800-777. Can you tell I was scanning? 4444.
Thank you. Ringo Regis Hairstylist, location line. To find a nearby salon, enter the area code and first three digits of the area you're calling from.
Okay, 212-333.
A nearby salon is the beauty salon at in the 1 Garden State Plaza at Route 4 and 17 Paramus, New Jersey. The phone number is 201-587-7666. To repeat this location, press a 1. For another salon, press a 2.
Okay.
The salon is 27 miles northeast of your location.
I want another one.
The beauty salon at in the Stamford Town.
In the what?
At 100 Gray Rock Place, Stamford, Connecticut. The phone number is 203-969-7777. 9.
Yeah, but I...
Repeat this location.
No.
Presser 1.
No.
For another salon.
New one.
That's a 2.
Give me a new one.
That salon is 27.
No, no, I want to get... No.
That salon
Thank
is...
You,
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, so you're getting hair salon addresses.
It's evil. It's an evil recording.
Yeah, it is.
It just wouldn't stop.
The local salon is at...
In words. Yeah. So...
What was the point of that?
What was the point of what? Of the number?
Yeah.
Well, apparently to find salons in your area.
Oh, okay.
I thought you might be interested, you know.
You're saying I have a bad haircut or something?
Well, yeah, you know, it's a beauty stylist.
Oh, you don't like my mullet?
Dash, you know I like the mullet. I like the mullet. You ever see Joe Dirt?
Yeah.
You did. I figured you would have seen that, and I've never seen that, though.
I have, but it sucks.
I'm sure it does. Okay, so those numbers, again, were... folks, write them down. They're tricky. 1-800-777-0000 would be Bloomingdale's. Go ahead and send your friend a Bloomingdale's catalog. And to find a hair salon near you, and I know you want to, 1-800-777-4444.
There you go.
You want to call IBM?
Why?
I don't know, just because they're IBM, you know?
They're IBM. Yeah, but they like Linux.
IBM likes Linux?
Yeah, I don't have any problems with IBM.
Oh. I didn't know that. Why don't people tell me these things?
Yeah, well, you're just out of the loop.
Ooh, yeah, let's... No, never mind.
No.
Alrighty, let's move on here. We're heading towards the home stretch, Dash. We're getting towards the end. Now, I know you have some stuff for us, and I know you want to get it out.
I got something. I got this article, man. It pisses me off to no end.
Uh-oh.
I mean, oh, God damn it.
Well, let's hear it, man.
I think I got it from CNN.com.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
It's hidden
things.
Down in the bottom of the page, but I found it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell it to you, because it pisses me off.
All right, let's hear it.
Company says it owns Hyperlink's patent.
Uh-oh.
A British company claimed in federal court Monday that it owns the patent on Hyperlink's, the single-click conveniences that take a web server from one internet page to another and should get paid for their daily use by millions of people. But a federal judge with a laptop on her desk warned that it may be difficult to prove that a patent filed in 1976, more than a decade before the World Wide Web was created, applies to modern computers. The language is archaic, said United States District Judge Colleen McMahon. It's like reading Old English. She was comparing a 1976 computer with a 2002 computer is like comparing a Mastodon and a jet. And she suggested that the invention at issue was already outmoded by the time it was patented in 1989. But Albert Bryneson, an attorney for British Telecommunications, insisted the basic structure of linking is covered by the patent. Before BT's technology, he said, a computer user had to know and enter the complete address of another page. Now this pisses me off to no end. I know I said it earlier, but someone claiming that they own links, text links, and that we should pay them every time we click on it.
Yeah, but I don't understand that. What are these guys claiming to have... Do they claim they invented the HTML too?
Let me see here.
Well, I mean, that's where you would
find
the
link.
Oh,
they didn't claim to invent HTML, but...
I mean, you can find it in other places too, but I mean, it's mainly embedded in HTML.
I love this. All right, listen. At a preliminary hearing in White Plains, lawyers for BT and for Prodigy Communications Corporation, the internet service provider that's the first target of the lawsuit, argued over the meanings of words as simple as central, as in central computer, and phrases as complex as means coupled to said further memory means. Central is a simple English word, the judge said, to little avail, as the lawyers used slideshows, animations, and charts. Well, who are they, Ross Perot? BT tried to persuade the judge to interpret the language broadly for the jury. To include a computer mouse, for example, as the keypad mentioned in the patent. It has keys, BT lawyer Robert Perry said hopefully. When they argued over the word terminal, Prodigy lawyer William Schumann tried to show that the dumb terminals of old cannot be equated to modern desktops that do their own computing. It has keys, it's a mouse, it has keys. The judge said she feared that jurors, who may have a hard enough time understanding their own computers, will not be able to grasp what computer technology was like in the 1970s.
I'm having trouble already.
Yeah, when mainframes the size of a Buick can less power than some handheld devices today. I'm thinking of the 6, 8, 10 people who will not have a clue and will be terrified going into this, she said, of the still-to-be-selected jurors. But BT's Brynison said outside court, I think a jury that uses clicks on their computers every day will be able to see how that relates to this patent. It's an old patent, but it's got an awful lot of similarities to certain things that are being used on the internet.
Okay, so what's going to happen here? I mean, are these guys going to get money every time somebody uses...
That's what they're trying to do.
Well, that's BS. That's like those guys that started patenting all those phone number tunes. You know, they took all those possible sounds that you can make with digits and, you know, patented them as music so that...
Yeah. God, it pisses me off. I don't know what the actual patent says, but, yeah, they're basically trying to get people to pay them for clicking on a link.
I can't understand. Oh, that's impossible.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's impossible.
To win against Prodigy...
Are you telling me that you're gonna set up links that send these people money every time you click on them, and that you have to pay for those links? That's not gonna happen. That's impossible to implement.
I don't know. Maybe they just want a big old settlement all at once or something. I don't know. But it says if they're successful against Prodigy, BT could challenge other internet service providers and demand licensing fees that might add to members' costs.
Mm. Well, I don't know what to tell you about that. Just don't lose any sleep over it.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to win, but it's still pissing me off that someone would claim that they own links. I mean, it just seems like a desperate attempt for money.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of desperate attempts in the world for money, but,
This is really desperate.
Yeah. Well, let's mention this before we go. Happy news. All current versions of Black Ice Defender and Black Ice Agent, both made by Atlanta-based Internet Security Systems running on Microsoft Windows 2000 and Windows XP, are vulnerable to an attack.
Everything is.
Yeah, well, the company released an update Friday evening that plugs the hole, and it can be downloaded through the ISS website or through the program itself. And what the hole is basically, well, it says right here, researchers at EI Digital Security in Aliso Viejo, California, found the problem while probing a related hole in the product discovered earlier this week that lets hackers shut down the target computer. The patch fixes both problems. But of course, they don't really tell you what you have to do in order to do that. So here I am sitting here thinking to myself, is there even an exploit for this yet?
Yeah.
You know, no one's even exploited that whole Windows XP BS that they had, you know, oh, this is the most horrible thing in the world, grab this patch, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but they fixed it, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
They fixed that, and then they fixed this, and it says here, EI is a competitor of ISS and makes computer security products for corporations. Well, good for them. Without the update program, the hole would let hackers remotely control the victim's computer, steal or modify files, or spy on their internet habits. Yeah, but a Trojan would do the same thing to you.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I mean, you don't even need a Trojan. You can go sniffing, you can go doing anything. And there's not even a there's a vulnerability, but there's not even an exploit out yet, and people are already running for the hills.
Well, there's no reason for an exploit because they patched it.
Well, there's always a reason for an exploit because there's always somebody who hasn't patched it, but...
Oh, yeah.
There's always this paranoia out there that, oh my God, there's a security hole. Yeah, listen, folks, security is always going to be an issue. Software is always going to have a hole, because it's software.
Maybe in, like, 1,000 years or something it won't be.
Well, I don't know. We have to find a completely new way to do it, because as long as we have humans writing the code, humans are going to make little tiny errors that can lead to massive buffer overflows that result in people sending that damn arbitrary code to the stack, and then, boom, you're gone.
Yep, you're gone.
It's you know,
well, that's just one way.
Yeah, and this is just one vulnerability. This is one thing that has been announced. There are millions of other ones out there, so stop having a conniption fit. What is a conniption fit? I never knew.
It's like spazzing out.
All right, well, stop spazzing out every time somebody sends a vulnerability out saying, oh my goodness, look at this, this is horrible, everybody's open to this attack, end of the world, hackers are going to destroy the planet because of this.
No, no, they're not going to destroy the planet.
People have no idea how open they are, you know? People have no idea how not private the internet is. Everything you send, everything can be intercepted and read. You're not safe.
We're not safe. We're not safe. We're wide open.
You think security, you think IDS systems are going to protect you? You're wrong. You think port sentries are going to be enough? No, it's a hell of a lot of fun to really screw with your friends, though. Here, port scan me. Okay. Here, port scan me again with port sentry on. Whoa! What the hell?
Yeah.
But I know. But in the end, there's always a way to trick it. Always.
Always.
Because
there's a way to trick somebody.
Because the internet is made to be connected. It's made to share information. It's made to
interconnected thing.
It's made to get things done. You know, it's made to let the information flow to one computer from one computer to another.
Multi-purpose.
Yeah, I guess so. It's made to do its job, you know, and its job was not intended to be security. So stop freaking out every time somebody says there's a vulnerability, because there are millions of vulnerabilities out there that people are going to find that you don't know about, and you probably never will until after the fact.
Right, right, yeah, you're right. Well, you're right.
And with that, the notebook is all out of stuff for tonight, anyway.
Yeah, well.
For tonight, but the notebook's already making stuff for next week's show. Until then, you can hop over to hackermind.net to get your weekly fix. Well, you get your weekly fix right here, but if you...
Oh, I also want to mention something.
Okay.
All right, we had to replace the message board.
Oh, yeah.
If you're listening to this and you haven't checked out the message board lately, which you should, we had to get a new one, so you'll have to re-register if you haven't registered yet. But people seem to like it more than the last one.
Yeah, we didn't mean to do this. You know?
It's a bitch.
Yeah. Dash had tried to do something good for us, but of course the board wouldn't allow it, and we just got...
Board said no.
Yeah, we just got completely screwed over and we lost it, but like I was saying, if you just simply can't wait until next week for more HackerMind, well then hop over to HackerMind.net, get your HackerMind fix there, and stop by the message board. Make Dash happy, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Hey, how are those frequency pages coming?
Oh, not too good. I haven't started working on any of them.
Ah, well, we hope to have those up where people can just view them in HTML format, and that's about it.
That's it. We're done.
That's it. For Dash Interrupt, I'm Screamer Chaotix.
See Screamer.
What?
I never get to say, you know, I'm Dash Interrupt.
All right, you do that. All right, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I never get to say that, but, you know.
All right, well, all right, so I can't say for Dash Interrupt.
You can. I'm just saying I never get to say.
Well, why don't you say for Screamer Chaotix, I'm Dash Interrupt.
For Screamer Chaotix, I'm Dash Interrupt. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Wait a minute, how did you sniff his telnet connection if you're not even on a lawn?
Well, see, it's a highly technical... Oh, man, I'm full of shit, man. I didn't do it. I'm...